It is your wrestling nostalgia night here on the WWE Podcast, and we're changing it up a bit tonight as we look back at not just a single moment, but rather several moments in WWE that were not supposed to happen. They were not part of the show, and it ranges from funny to shocking and dangerous and everything in between. Let's get everything started right now.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Alrighty, and yes, it is Wrestling Nostalgia Night. A really fun night, a different night, because it still is nostalgia. I mean, we're keeping with what the show is, but we're not doing a single moment, a single match. We're going to be picking and choosing throughout history of WWE the moments that made us laugh, made us cry, made us cringe, made us scream, really a range of emotions. And I want to also let you know, this is not a comprehensive list. This is not a top five list either. I didn't rank them because it's really hard to rank these moments because they range from, you know, apples to oranges to wrenches, right? I mean, it's really hard to rank these things, but they are in a category of their own. So I'm sure that I'm missing a ton. And this is not a bunch. Like, I mean, I'm just selecting a few and discussing them and probably laughing. I mean, I know a few that I really, really want to touch on, particularly with Mae Young and Vince McMahon, just completely tearing his quads in the Royal Rumble match. I mean, hilarious stuff that even watching it today makes me cry laughing. I mean, even Titus O'Neil, right? At the greatest Royal Rumble, whenever you're feeling down about yourself, just go watch Titus O'Neil. I mean, it is the perfect baseball slide under the ring. So we're going to cover a few of those moments just like that and some that you probably forgot about. And there's nothing like going off script, because going off script makes the world of reality and WWE collide. Because how are they going to deal with it? What happens? What are the consequences? Do they act like this is supposed to happen? You know, there are certain things that we're going to cover, and not all of them were handled well, but in general, WWE does a good job of improving, even during moments that are not supposed to happen. So before I get going, happy snowstorm day to anyone who is living in the Northeast United States, New York City to Boston, I mean, anywhere from Massachusetts to Maine to New York and Pennsylvania, New Jersey. You guys know what I'm talking about. We're getting hammered by snow right now, but it's not even winter yet. That's sad, right? Like, I mean, it's December 16th. Up here, we've got a good 3 to 4 months until we get out of this. Probably 4 months, sometimes 5 more months. It's a long winter to go, and we are just starting it. So those of you who live in warmer climates, we all hate you. I think we can collectively say that. We hate you out of jealousy. Okay, we're all going to threaten to leave. We're all going to pretend that we're going to up and leave. Oh, I'm going to move to Florida. I hate this crap. And then what do? We stay here year after year because we're gluttons for punishment. That's just what we do. But, I mean, really, we just have family and friends up here, which is why most of us are here, and it's hard to leave. But certainly, when you have days like this, it is tough because you scrape off your car. You got to brush off your car. You can't go outside for too long because it's too cold. It's dangerous to drive. Like, it's just a pain in the neck. So, listen, we'll all threaten to move to Florida, but we all know it's not going to happen. So, all right. Well, the other thing I want to talk about before we get into the moments that I just absolutely love are our website, right? Our website, WWEpodcast.com, is under repair. If you visited lately, you probably said a good old WTF to yourself, and that's because yours truly effed it up. So I got one of our tech guys and hired him out, and he's fixing it. So it should be done in the next week and a half or so, and that should be back up and running. Also this week, Again, it's a pay-per-view week, as you know, with TLC on Sunday. That means the Botch Guy is back. He is back for the Sunday night review on TLC, and he'll be joining me late Sunday night for a review. By the way, go check out his channel. Subscribe. You will not regret subscribing to his channel. If you love wrestling stuff on YouTube, like almost every wrestling fan that's ever existed does, then you will need to check out the Botch Guy. Great content, posts almost daily, posts quickly, and definitely one of the better wrestling channels out there on YouTube, and is growing quickly. So join the bandwagon, right? Jump on board. You won't regret it. And he'll be joining us Sunday night. So again, the rest of the week, you guys know what it is. NXT review, mailbag is also coming on Thursday. But on Friday, I normally don't record, but I will be joined by longtime co-host, although we haven't been on the show together in quite some time, way too damn long. Anthony DeMarco will be joining me on Friday for a WWE Rivalries, a special one that's going to cover Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon. He is having me on the show. It's really his show that he is having me on. So he wanted me on because I lived through it. I mean, I lived through the McMahon Austin era, probably the best rivalry of all time. I mean, that's very subjective. I'm sure some of you say, oh, what about Rock and Austin? What about, Flair and Steamboat, right? Like, but very subjective. In my eyes, the most intense rivalry of all time and drew the most money of all time. I think that's a very objective thing to say. So I'll be joining him on Friday for maybe an hour or so talking about the Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon rivalry. That'll be dropping Friday. Saturday's predictions. Sunday is your show, the TLC review. So I'll be on almost every single day from here on out in one form or another. So you're going to get real sick of me real quick. But nonetheless, we do have a lot of other co-hosts to break things up, and it won't be just me. Okay, all that out of the way, boy, we've got some good stuff to get to. We've got some hilarious stuff to get to. And I want to start out with the one that, I can't get enough of it. And there are a few of those moments in WWE that I just can't get enough of that are off script. This is one of those moments, and it took place nearly 16 years ago at the Royal Rumble in 2005 when Vince McMahon tore both quads. He tore both quads. Oh, this video is priceless. This is where I wish we could watch this together. And you know what? I've been thinking about implementing some kind of video podcast where it's not a 60-minute podcast. I mean, no one's going to watch a 60-minute video, but we watch clips together. And I do a screen on screen where you could see the video while I'm watching it in the corner, and we could you could watch me watch it and react to it live. Let me know what you think about that. Okay, like I'm very interested in that part of my show, maybe expanding into that on YouTube or posting it on my website. So let me know. Let me know what you guys think about that. So it's been really kind of being toyed around with in my mind. Anyway, this is 2005. We have Batista. We have John Cena on their respective brands, who are at the absolute top of their brands. They are the studs, the up-and-coming studs in WWE to replace the old guard of really Brock Lesnar, who left the year before, who Stone Cold and The Rock were gone at this time. Triple H was still there. Shawn Michaels was still there. But these two were really the up-and-comers and the ones that lasted all the way through the Royal Rumble. And what happened here are really two unscripted moments. The first is that this shouldn't even have brought Vince McMahon out. Why? Well, because John Cena and Batista both went over the top rope and fell down to the floor at the exact same time. Originally, what was supposed to happen is Batista was supposed to hold onto the ropes and win the match, but things didn't go as planned, and this resulted in Vince McMahon strutting down to the ring and absolute rage. I mean, he is in a crimson rage. And as he reaches the ring, I'm sorry to laugh on air here. I know it's not fun to listen to someone laugh, but when he reached the ring, he seemed uneasy for a minute, and then he completely collapsed. And he tried to get up again, and he collapsed. And he's sitting there like a child. This grown man in his late 50s at this point is sitting there like a child and really not even selling that he just tore both his quads outside of the fact he can't stand. But he's not grimacing in pain. You know, I got to give it to the man. You tear both quads and the dude's just sitting there. The best part is when he tries to get up. That could be a meme. I don't, you know, if things were back in 2005 like they are now, and memes were a thing back in 2005, as big as they are now, this would be at the top of the list for several weeks. If you haven't seen this clip, just YouTube it. Vince McMahon tears his quads. It'll pop right up. And it's not very long, so let's listen to some audio. I know I can't give you the video, which is why I really think about implementing a video portion to the show. But, okay, take a listen, and we'll come back.
Junction here with, we got two winners of the Royal Rumble, or do we?
I don't know. Could you tell who landed first? I couldn't tell.
I'll be honest with you, I could not. Here comes the boss. Here comes the chairman of the WWE, Mr. McMahon.
He does not look happy, and that's not a shocker.
So this is, it's just hilarious. Like, how do you tear both quads getting in the ring? How is that even possible? It looked like he hit both of his legs on the corner of the ring when he got in, which perfectly sliced both of his quads, I guess. And when he tried to stand, it is one of the funniest, and I'm not trying to make fun of this, but it's so long ago. I mean, who really cares? It was classic. If you haven't seen it, you gotta see it. It's just great, great stuff with Vince sitting there. And eventually Batista went on to win and then challenged Triple H at WrestleMania 21, as we all remember, and then beating Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship. So it's really a classic moment. It really was confusing. And until I read that the unscripted part actually included that both men went over at the same time, I thought that it was actually part of the show. I knew that Vince tearing his quads were not part of the show, or him sitting there like a 5-year-old child, but I didn't know that the actual double elimination wasn't part of the show because it was so perfectly timed. Both men hit exactly at the same time. So that's what makes me a little bit, I guess, still hesitant that that was actually unscripted, because it was so perfectly done by accident. But Vince restarted it, Batista wins, and we all know the rest is history. So go check that out. Okay, moving on to the second one here. And again, this is not a 1-5 or 5-1 list. This is in random order. There's no rhyme or reason or chronological organization to these picks. It's just some unscripted moments that I remember, love, and I want to share with you guys. Okay, and that is, of course, the Titus Slide. So let's take a listen.
Titus had a very busy week here in Saudi Arabia. He's had dinner with many princes and very important people, and he
oh my God, what the heck? What did Titus just... I can't believe what I just saw.
That may be the greatest moment in Royal Rumble history. It really might be the greatest moment ever.
So, a bit of an abbreviated version, but if you listen to the full version, Corey Graves is beside himself. He can't stop laughing, and deservedly so. It is one of the funniest moments ever in the Royal Rumble, and that was the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, which, again, doesn't really count as a real Royal Rumble, and the outcome doesn't ever matter, and Mansoor always wins because Mansoor is the hometown hero, and they want to make all the people in Saudi Arabia feel like they can achieve anything, too, and we got to hear a terrible inspirational speech from Mansoor every single time, but that was a hilarious, hilarious moment. I remember seeing that, and he slid perfectly. If he tried and practiced that all day, he couldn't have slid perfectly under the ring like he did. And it was just great. And if you remember also, when NXT was terrible back in 2012, before it was even anything like we know it as today, back in 2012 when they were doing the keg races and all that kind of stuff, and it was just more of a joke of a third brand that WWE had, Titus O'Neil tripped there too. He tripped carrying the keg. Within like 3 seconds, he fell. I mean, so this guy has some kind of balance issues being such a tall dude. I don't know. But I'm sure you have all seen the Titus World Slide, as it has now infamously been branded as, Titus World Slide. It is awesome. It's great. And Corey Graves, I watched a podcast that he was on with Sam Roberts, watching that moment again and giving additional commentary, and he still couldn't stop laughing every time he sees it. He made a good point. That ring has a center beam underneath it. You know, if he had, he's lucky he didn't hit it, or if he did, it was, you know, very gently by the time he slid all the way to the beam. And if he stepped one more step, he would have slammed his head into the ring apron and probably decapitated himself. So the way that it happened was absolutely picture perfect, hilarious, classic. You guys need to check out Titus World Slide, as it has now infamously been branded as. Okay, now we get to one of the more, non-PG, but depends on your definition of PG moments. So if you have kids in the room, maybe turn down the speaker for this one. It's not really a cuss word. It's just kind of a dirty word. Starts with an S and ends with a T or an S. It's not what you're thinking. It's from Mae Young, who back when she was, I think it was a Raw All-Stars or a retro Raw, Raw throwback or something like that. She challenged the Bella Twins, or no, Lay Cool, not the Bella Twins. The Bella Twins were supporting Mae Young behind her, and Lay Cool comes out, does their terrible just act that they do. If you've ever seen Lay Cool or heard Lay Cool, that's Michelle McCool and Layla, by the way. That's, they just combine their names, which is, you know, takes a lot of brain power to do. And look, nothing against either woman, it was just a terrible tag team in a terrible era for the women with the Divas Championship. But they were out there making fun of Mae Young, and Mae Young had an absolute classic comeback that will forever make me laugh. I remember when this happened, I remember laughing for 15, 20 minutes straight and replaying it over and over and over, and it doesn't get old. So again, if you have kids or whatever, that you don't want to have the speakers up too loud on this one, there is one bit of a dirtier word in here. You know, I know this is a PG podcast and it certainly borders on that PG threshold, but take a listen. This is an absolute gem for WWE.
Anything to say to them?
What do you mean, do I have anything to say? I want you to give me a match with these slumps and let me.
Oh, get him, man! Look at the looks.
Maybe to them. Come on.
Are, Are you asking for no disqualification?
No disqualification.
What?
You little bitches, let's go.
What?
So, Mae Young... just certainly unscripted. Certainly unscripted. They are well within the PG era. It was an old school Raw. This is how they branded it at that time and back in 2012. The Bella Twins were not nearly what they are known for or have the body work as they have had today, or at least are known for. They were just kind of the pretty faces that didn't really do a whole lot. And now certainly we know the legacy of the Bella Twins, which is controversial or debatable at best, but back then you didn't really, really understand who and what they were and what they'd end up being. But again, Michelle McCool and Layla on the other side, obnoxious, not funny, and not entertaining, just kind of groan-inducing. I mean, that team was just awful. It reminds me a lot of some of today's product in certain ways. But Mae Young, clearly the star here, not scripted for her to say those two words, and it was just it doesn't get old listening to her just call them what she did is awesome. It is awesome. I'd encourage you to watch the video because the video does add, and of course you have Mean Gene Okerlund, which is, I mean, he's a legend in his own right, and you know, it's still crazy to think that he's gone too, but that was an absolute gem of a moment. So check it out. Just search if you're on YouTube, which is how I'm searching for all these, because it's hard to search through the network. I mean, looking for through the WWE network for a specific moment is not easy. YouTube is still the master of that. So I'd recommend if you're looking for these moments, head on over to YouTube. All right. Well, let's get to the next moment here. And this took place in 2012. It was during it was an over-the-top rope battle royal. And the final two in this match were Edge and the Great Khali. So take a listen.
Should pay any attention to what just happened? Khali just eliminated himself. He walked over the top rope and went down to the floor. The official never called it. What is going on?
I think he had to be thrown over the top rope.
What do you mean he went over the top rope and both feet hit the floor?
He had to be thrown over.
Okay.
By your opponent.
I guess. Okay.
That's how Khali gets in. Edge
went for the spear. And there goes Edge through the second rope. And Khali once again.
Wait.
And I believe now he's eliminated.
Yes.
Well.
The winner of this match, the Rated R Superstar, is...
Edge is still in the six-pack challenge at Night of Champions. Not once, but twice.
So the Great Khali ends up eliminating himself, going over the top rope when he should have actually waited for Edge to eliminate him. King was trying to cover by saying, well, you have to be thrown over the top rope. Well, no, that's not the rule. You just have to somehow, some way, go over the top rope. I understand the cover, but Michael Cole's exactly right. I mean, that was just a boneheaded move on the part of Khali, and certainly he should have been eliminated at that time. The referee pretended it didn't happen. And you can honestly even hear some of the audience who are, like, you can hear people screaming, like, he just walked over the top rope, and the referee's like, nope, that's not how the finish was presented to me, so we're going to pretend that didn't happen. So, good old Khali, not able to follow, the rules of the match. So, all right, this next moment, and this will probably be the last moment for this show, but it's a little more serious. It was partially scripted, but there were elements in this that were real, not scripted whatsoever. It is the War of Words between John Cena and Roman Reigns on August 28th, 2017, before their match, where John Cena absolutely carved up Roman Reigns And boy, do you see a difference in character today with Roman. I mean, it is just a night and day difference. And I would love to see these two once again clash now that Roman has matured 3 years more. But it was an absolute decimation of Roman Reigns, a complete exposure of his ability to cut a promo. And John Cena took him to task in an embarrassing way. And I am not a John Cena babyface supporter. I think John Cena is an amazing promo, and he completely exposed Roman Reigns. So let's take a listen to a little bit of that.
That's right. You don't need to fight me. You are the high exalted Roman Reigns. You are the big dog. Everybody back there knows it. Everybody out here still kind of trying to figure it out. You see, Roman, I'm what you would call a polarizing figure. Every week, there are people that cheer because they stand for what I believe in. And then there are people that boo because they don't. And then every single week, you can audibly hear those people so desperately wanting me to change the content of my character. Maybe a little heel turn. But with you, it's different. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this. They go back and forth with you because when they look at you, they see what I see, a cheap-ass, corporately created John Cena bootleg. Just a guy trying so desperately to fill shoes that you never will. Listen carefully, young man. I'm not the Undertaker. I'm not a battered veteran at the end of his career with a bad hip. I am the fastest, strongest, and hungriest that I have ever been in my entire life. And the reason you won't sign that is because you know if you do, your Roman Empire
So I'm going to pause it right there because this is where it gets uncomfortable. You heard him carve up Roman Reigns and said exactly what the fans are thinking. John Cena has always had a thumb on the pulse of the WWE fans. Love him or hate him, he is an intelligent, well-spoken, great promo, if not one of the best promos ever to ever come across WWE. And I'm talking that I'm talking about The Rock. I'm even talking about Stone Cold. John Cena is the measuring stick when it comes to promos. And I cannot stand his babyface character, but I'll give the guy credit where it's due, and this is where Roman Reigns absolutely sinks. So take a listen to this very uncomfortable and real and unscripted moment here.
Did it again. He's the king of this. He can take anything and spin it. That's what he does. But it blows my mind that he stands out here and he runs his mouth and he's talking about y'all boo him because y'all want him to be a bad guy. They boo you because first of all, you suck.
Hey, according to them, so does he, but that's okay. He won a gold medal.
Just shut up for a while. How about that? And second of all,
go ahead, find it. Go ahead. I'll wait. It's called a promo,
shut
kid.
Your
and
mouth,
if you
John.
Want to be the big dog, you're going to have to learn how to do it. So go ahead. see you, fourth wall.
The reason why they boo you is because they see right through you. You're a phony. You're a yes man who can learn how to do anything or be anything. So if you wrap all that up, you're just a fake bitch.
Are we talking now, ain't we? Yeah, you're hearing me now, ain't you?
All right, well, I'll pause it there because you get the gist. Roman Reigns was at a loss for words. He sat there. He didn't know what to say or do. John Cena completely ripped him a new one. It was uncomfortable. It's still uncomfortable to watch because you can feel him struggling. You can feel the uncomfortability. You can just see it, feel it. It's tangible, and it's 3 years later, it's still uncomfortable to watch. I have a feeling if these two locked horns now, it may be a bit of a different story, given Roman Reigns is in a different character. It's been 3 years, obviously more experience under his belt. It was just damn uncomfortable, but brilliant. And it said everything the fans were thinking when it comes to John Cena giving it to Roman Reigns, being the corporately created John Cena bootleg. It was perfect, because that's exactly what he was. Corporately created. I mean, it was perfect. And it completely exposed Roman. I have no idea how Roman Reigns is a babyface here. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. Talking about The Undertaker, retiring The Undertaker. He talked about that in his promo. I mean, even though he didn't. But certainly it was a very uncomfortable moment, an unscripted moment. Not all of it, but certainly that moment was not a part of the show, and you can guarantee that. With Roman Reigns losing his words, standing there, and you can see him just befuddled, right? Because when you're going toe-to-toe with John Cena, you're in the ring with the best of the best, man. I mean, good luck. Good luck. And I don't think John Cena gets the appreciation that he deserves when it comes to his promo ability. I mean, I think we quickly forget how damn good he is. Really, really good. And I'm putting him over big time. I haven't really talked about John Cena on this show a whole lot because, well, he's been gone for a while. And I don't count the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania last year, which was just flat-out embarrassment. I know many of you disagree, and that's fine. I think it's a flat-out embarrassment of what pro wrestling should be and what has made it successful, but that's another conversation for another day. So, again, not the longest show in the history of wrestling nostalgia here, guys, but I wanted to throw it up, or mix it up a little bit, right? Throw in some comedy, throw in some serious, uncomfortable moments here, and there's a ton more. I mean, I was going to get into the Eddie Guerrero stunt when a fan jumped in the ring during a ladder match with himself. I think it was RVD he was facing on Raw. And a fan jumped in the ring and tossed over the ladder while Eddie Guerrero was on it. And Eddie Guerrero jumped off and, you know, was about to take a swing at the guy and security grabbed him. Or the moment when somebody interrupted Batista backstage doing, like, his move where he's like, choo, 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 choo. I don't know how to describe it without showing you that moment. That was hilarious to me, but certainly there's tons of botches, and I didn't want to get into injury botches and missed botches with moves because there's so many. I mean, if you want to see botches with moves, look for Botchamania. I mean, we all know what Botchamania is on YouTube. I'm not talking about the botch guy. I'm talking about the channel Botchamania, which I'm not plugging. I'm just saying exists out there if you are into missed spots, missed moves, and that kind of thing. So I wanted to get more into comedy and promos, but certainly I didn't even scratch the surface when it comes to this thing. So maybe I'll do a part two on this because this is a lot of fun to look back at the things that weren't supposed to happen. So alrighty, guys, as always, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. You're going to hear a lot from me this week. It's a pay-per-view week. I'm also coming on my own show that is Anthony's show with WWE Rivalries, talking Austin and McMahon. So we've got a ton more to get to this week. Stay tuned. It's going to be a wild ride this week with TLC. So thank you, everybody. As always, I'll talk to you next time.